Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. After this problem, I hope I have time enough to present my paper. Well, anyway, thank you really for being here, first of all, in spite of the time, because it's almost lunchtime. But I would really like to thank you very especially to Mr. Carsten Novrot and to Mrs. Yuan Wan, because of their really hard work and their support. Because this presentation is actually the result of a paper written by us, as I mean for Yuan, Carsten, and myself, and as a team. So thank you very much. Well, as you can see, I'm going to present the OECD guidelines after the review in 2011. So, because I'm not sure whether anybody here knows what the OECD and so on is, so I will explain first of all in the introduction what's that. First of all, what's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development? Well, actually, the idea started in 1948 with the Organization for European Economic Cooperation. But this organization, the OECD as such, was actually founded in 1961 in order to support the democracy, market economy, and being a platform for exchange of ideas of the 34 member states of the organization. Actually, it's interesting this because right now, in 2011, it was the 50th anniversary of the organization. During this, actually coincided with the annual meeting at the ministerial level. And people not only made party, but also they tried to improve the guidelines because they are a steering instrument for social corporate responsibility. So what's that? Corporate social responsibility is actually a self-regulating mechanism whereby states, they try to act in compliance with the rule of law, with principles and ethics, and with international commitments. So actually, they are trying to embrace responsibility of the company to help the social, environmental, and economic situation of states. For that reason, actually, I put this quotation here, people, planet, and profit, which I think is a good definition of the concept. Origin of the OECD guidelines. Well, they were actually, they are a part of this 1976 decision, Declaration of International Investment and Multinational Enterprises. What's that? This is actually a political commitment in order to improve climate investment and also the positive acts and operations of enterprises. This instrument has several elements. First of all, we have the national treatment. This principle, maybe as you already know, this is to accord to foreign companies the same treatment than to domestic companies in like situations. Conflicting requirements. Again, this is important to cooperate for the cooperation between the host countries and the enterprises. Why? Because in some host countries, they have their own, of course, their own legal rules and norms. So they can be really in conflict with the OECD guidelines. So the requirement in this case is to find a balanced solution by means of cooperation. International investment incentives and disincentives. In this case, we have to highlight, actually, the main principle of transparency. So for companies to invest in different states, it is really necessary to know which kind of legal system they are going to find there in order to know whether they should or not invest in these host countries. And finally, the guidelines for multinational enterprises. In order to start this, I have to tell you, these are the guidelines for multinational enterprises. This document is composed actually by 84 pages. So because it's a really huge instrument, we are going to highlight and emphasize the most important features of the instrument and also the most important change made in 2011 by the last review. So what are the OECD guidelines? As you may read here, they are recommendations on responsible business conduct. Well, addressed by governments to multinational enterprises operating in or from adhering countries. First of all, important here is they are recommendations. This means that they are not hard law. So they are have a non-binding basis in nature. The most important characteristic of the OECD guidelines is to try to foster the good practice among enterprises when they are seated in different countries, not only by other members, but only non-other members. We will see that. So the other members of the OECD guidelines, they are, as you can see here, and as I have already said, the 34 member states of the OECD, but also there are 8 countries which are not members of the OECD, and still they are bound by these OECD guidelines, as you can read here, Argentina, Brazil, Egypt, and so on. Important also for these guidelines, they are the other official actors development. I mean, we have, first of all, the Business and Industrial Advisory Committee, the BIAC. In this case, it's an advisory committee which is representing the business community. They try to inform the business community about the policies of the investment committee and also to try to improve the situations always with a view to this business thing. With regard to the Trade Union Advisory Committee, the TUAC, this is again a representative of the trade unions sphere, but they are working actually very closely with the trade union, International Trade Union Organization, and with the International Labour Organization, the ILO. And finally, we have here the OECD Watch. This is actually a new element after the last 2011 review. Why? Because the OECD Watch is representing the civil society, but it is not an advisory committee. So the OECD Watch, what is trying right now here, is to make clear what are the policies of the investment committee, which is an institution, we will see this today, of the OECD guidelines, and also to test how is the effectiveness of the OECD guidelines for the social community. The scope of application of the guidelines. We will start with the personal. Well, we have companies and the 42 member states. Companies. Companies, they are not only the multinational enterprises, as it was until now. Now, after the last review in 2011, also companies, I mean, the small and medium-sized enterprises, they are also bound by the OECD guidelines. Important to emphasize here, of course, the addressees of the OECD guidelines, they are states and not companies, but they have still to comprehensively to apply them as well as much as possible where they are. The 42 adhering countries, again, as I say, they are not the only 34 member states of the OECD, but also these 8 countries which adhere to the guidelines. And of course, this is important because they have, and the state has anyway, the obligation and the duty to protect and to respect and fulfill the community interests. Territorial scope of application. Well, observation of the guidelines, wherever they are. I mean, this is important again. Why? Because as I have said, not only the other member states to the OECD guidelines, they have to fulfill them. They have also, they are of course bound by them, but states which are not members of the OECD guidelines, they have still, they are pressured by the companies in order to fulfill them. So the guidelines, of course, there are some problems with regard to the implementation of these guidelines in some particular host countries, because there are conflicts of interest and conflicts with regard to the domestic laws. So what are they looking for right now is a cooperation among and between the companies, the enterprises at any level with the host countries to find a balanced solution for that. The material scope of application. Well, first of all, we have here an internal dimension. This is relationship between companies and their own workers. This is, of course, very clear, I think, because companies, anyway, have to apply, first of all, the OECD guidelines to their own business. And for instance, I could mention here just the chapter on human rights or the chapter on employment, environment, and etc. What else? Activities of cooperations. In this case, we could say that at this stage is only and is still an internal dimension. But in the case of multinational enterprises, which have also business partners abroad and other countries, this could also be an external direct dimension, because they are actually applying these OECD guidelines to their own business partners in other countries, which may be members of the OECD guidelines or not. And finally, we have this external indirect dimension. Why? Because I'm talking about the supply chain responsibility. Again, what's the meaning of that? Of course, when companies they are located abroad in other host countries, if the host country is member, it's okay, but if the host country is not, could be a problem. But the supply chain responsibility, they are also this business relationship with the company, for instance, the suppliers of the company. Of course, the company may not impose these OECD guidance commitments over the supply chain, but still they can make pressure on them so that they can, or they are trying to balance again a balance in order to apply these OECD guidelines as a steering instrument at the fullest extent, so as much as feasible. And finally, we have the temporal scope of application. Well, as you can read here, the guidelines, they enter into force the 25th of May 2011, because actually this annual meeting at the ministerial level took place between the 24th of May until the 26th of May in Paris, where the headquarters of the organization are. And but still, because normally they take a length of time in order to apply and to implement this new instrument, it is normal and probably they will really enter into force practically and de facto in December in 2011. So, and just to mention that important, I think they don't have, of course, a retroactive effect for the rest of the countries. Now, we are going to start with the substantive part of the guidelines. Well, important to say again, they are, if you want to check it, it is here. They are divided in two parts, the substantive part and the implementation part. So we start with this, first of all, with the substantive part. This is the table of contents, all right, of the OECD guidelines. Again, I think I could really, if you have any questions, you can ask me at the end, all right? Because I'm not going to go into details in each of these ones. So I am just going to tell you more or less what are the main characteristics, especially after the 2011 review. Well, in the preface, the preamble of the guidelines, of course, as a preamble as such, it is really important for the interpretation of the guidelines. Important here is after the new review in 2011, the introduction of the important characteristic of internet economy right now, especially because of the role which is playing the internet economy for those countries, for the market, for the world trade, because there are really a lot of countries which cannot right now afford an internet economy market. Why? Because of the instrument, the technical instrument, or even because the people, they don't have the education enough, or even the administration to apply this kind of economy, which could really help a lot to the economic development of the state. What else in the preamble? There is a new element here right now, and it's the possibility that those matters which are covered by the OECD guidelines right now, they can also be covered by the national laws or international commitments. Why is this important? Of course, not only because it is possible to create a custom in this, and remember the importance of custom international law, especially to cover the lacunas in law, but also because there are really a lot of well-known states where they don't have good implementation mechanisms. So if these guidelines and these issues, they are also protected by the guidelines at an international level, it is also possible for them to have a better protection of these kinds of matters. With regard to the general policies, for instance, just to say they are establishing the main rules or the main principles of the guidelines that they have to fulfill. For instance, the due diligence, the respect of human rights, and so on and so on. So, human rights. Human rights is the most, I would say, is the cornerstone right now of the last review in 2011 for the OECD guidelines. This is the main change after the review. This is a new chapter which is based on the report of the special representant of the general director on human rights and in multinational enterprises, John Ruggie. This report is establishing three main purposes and principles, that is, that the states, of course, they have to protect, they have to ensure, and they have to fulfill the compliance of the human rights and also the fundamental freedoms. But also, enterprises, as special elements of the civil society, they have also to implement the human rights and laws in those places where they are located. And of course, the third principle, which is really important, and is basically in order to be able to improve these two elements that I said before, they are looking for good remedies in order to fulfill and to protect these human rights. So the human rights chapter, again, it is basing on this report. Which elements they are adding here in the human rights chapter? Well, first of all, the human rights right now, they are not only based in the human rights which are protected by the host country, which is important, but this is even much more important that this human rights right now, they are also covering all the internationally recognized human rights, the human rights charter, international level, which is implies a much better protection because it does not leave this decision of protection of human rights to the decision and to the opinion of the host state. What else? Again, they are trying to find new elements for remedies. So right now they are trying to have, for instance, like a better protection of the human rights in courts, in civil and criminal courts, but also by means of non-judicial mechanisms, like for instance, the human rights institutions for that. What else? Important here in the employment and industrial relations, here is important also to emphasize that right now, as like in the human rights chapter, they are here putting at the relevant sphere the international commitments, so that these employment laws and employment rights, they are based in the international recognized instruments, especially based on the ILO. Combating bribery, bribe solicitation, and extortion. Well, here, as you can see here, I have underlined this part, bribe solicitation and extortion. Before the last review 2011, it was in 2000. In 2000, the title of this chapter was just combating bribery. Actually, they had already written in the OECD guidelines in this chapter also the bribe solicitation and extortion. But right now, in 2011, they put these sentences actually in the title, which is giving a higher, I would say, significance of this thing. Why? Because they are also, if you read the chapter, they are right now changing the addressee. So now enterprises, they don't play a passive role, but an active role. So enterprises, no matter what, I mean multinational, small or medium-sized business companies. So now they have to avoid this, first of all, to ask for bribe solicitation, which could be, for instance, bribery would be, let's say, gifts, favors, and so on. But also, they had to avoid extortion. The problem here with extortion is that extortion has, in the definition, a new, different element, which is the violence. In extortion, we have several examples in cases where terrorist organizations, they extort, for instance, companies and enterprises in order to pay some revolutionary taxes in some countries. So right now, by means of this extortion, really enterprises is not enough. And also, following the principle of due diligence, is not enough that they say that they didn't follow this principle, but they have to try everything to avoid this. Of course, again, because of this element of violence in extortion, we have to remember that host countries, they really play a very, very important role. And they have really to cooperate with this in order to improve this situation. Consumer interests. Well, just to say that this new review, it's emphasizing the need to have, again, the principle of transparency in order to that, so that the consumer, they are able to compare different products. And also to make available good dispute mechanisms in order to resolve these disputes. But it also not only in the court, but also in a non-judicial mechanism, which is normally, of course, easier and much less expensive. I would say that this is the most important thing right now here, because science and technology, competition and taxation, they didn't change so much. Taxation, just to tell you that they introduced this in the risk management of the company, which is also important, especially taking account the role of the companies in the host country, so they had to pay taxes, which is going to contribute with this to the good economic development of the state. Well, after the substantive part, how can we really improve the effects of the guidelines? Of course, by means of the implementation part. Otherwise, it's really impossible, because again, we are speaking about a volunteering steering instrument. So we really need good implementation mechanisms so that they are not just goodwills at the end of the day. Well, first of all, just to tell you the legal basis, again, this is here. You have the decision of the Council of the OECD Guidelines for Multinational Enterprises. This, again, of course, like the enterprises, it came to fore the 25th of May 2011. And this is actually a political commitment which is establishing the main institutions of the guidelines and also the general principles. The main institutions, we will see that, they are the National Contact Points and the Investment Committee. And the procedural guidance. The procedural guidance, this is related to the decision of the Council. So these are actually defining particularly which task these institution of the guidelines have. But they are not separated elements. They are two parts of the same element, I mean, of the same implementation part of the guidance. Well, institutions. We have the national contact points. If you read here the definition, they are government office or independent entities established by the government, responsible for incurrence, observance of the guidelines in a national context. Well, as you can see here, they are government office or independent entities established by the government. What's the meaning of that? This is showing that they are a decentralized institution. They are several national contact points in each OECD member, which is adhered to the guidelines. This also implies that the governments, they have the freedom to decide how they should really organize at the national level these national contact points. They have really a very important role to implement this at the national level, because without this, if they don't really good, they don't work good in an appropriate manner, it's impossible that the guidelines, they are really implemented in the host country. So right now, which main tasks do they have? Of course, they've made the guidelines known and available. They are replying and answering to everybody who is coming to them, to us, and especially the stakeholders, of course, with regard to the different things of the guidelines, with the different interpretations and issues. They have regular meetings to share experience, and at the end, of course, they have to report all this experience and all the disputes to the investment committee. And of course, they have the task of resolution of disputes. How is this working? Well, first of all, they have to analyze which kind of resolution is coming to them so that they can say whether they are competent or not. Secondly, they have consultation with involved parties and with the stakeholders about this dispute. They have also to offer this mediation and conciliation. And after that, at the end, they will publish all the statements and they will communicate the results to the investment committee. So this is how the resolution disputes is working in general terms. Another institution, the investment committee. Well, the investment committee is also very relevant because it is right now, unlike the national contact points, this is a centralized institution. So it is trying to explain which are the different meanings of the part of the OECD guidelines. So they are giving an harmonized interpretation and a uniform interpretation of the guidelines, which is really relevant, taking into account that the national contact points, they are a decentralized institution. As you can see here, they have external functions, engagement with non-adhering countries or matters covered by the guidelines. Why? Because this investment committee is also informing to those states which are not members of the OECD guidelines. So they are giving information and they can go directly to them. But it has also inward-oriented competence as instance assistance to the national contact points, recommendations, and clarifications. What's the meaning of these clarifications? Well, right now, until 2011, I mean, after the 2000 review, before 2011, it was just the advisory committees, I mean, the BIAC and the TUAC, so the business and the trade unions representatives, they were the only official actors which could ask for clarifications to the investment committee. Clarifications, it means with regard to the application and interpretation of the guidelines. But now, after the 2011 review, the last review, now also the OECD Watch, as a representant of the civil society, is entitled also to ask for clarifications to the investment committee with regard to the guidelines. Even though the OECD Watch is not an advisory committee. And the investment committee, it is assisted by the OECD Secretariat. So what's that? The OECD Secretariat, it is a new institution after the 2011 review. It is right now, it has mainly administrative tasks, as you can see here, central point of information for all the national contact points, promotion also of the guidelines in international forums. They are also collaborating with other official actors for this promotion of the guidelines, up-to-date database on specific matters about the OECD guidelines, facilitation of peer learning activities. This is important because this gives a lot of power to the OECD Secretariat in order to implement the guidelines in the future, because they are teaching how should really be interpreted and applied. And finally, the facilitation of cooperation between national contact points. So in my conclusion, after this quick, I would say, overview of the last 2011 review, it is, well, after that, is this really positive? Is this really a balanced outcome, or is an opportunity missed? Well, we can find several, in general terms, several positive things and several shortcomings, so several advances. With regard to the positive advance, we can, for instance, again mention the new chapter of human rights, which are putting in the higher position the internationally recognized human rights elements. Also, this principle of transparency, which is really highlighted right now, for instance, between and among the national contact points. What else? Also, it's important to remember this, the fact that right now mothers, which are covered by the guidelines, they can also be covered by the OECD, by the national legislation, and also by the international commitments, and so on and so on. However, there are also some shortcomings. For instance, we can mention here in the disclosure chapter the fact that there is not a country-by-country report in order to improve this chapter and to improve the communication. Also, there are some, but this is more or less arguable, because some civil representatives, they say that right now, the OECD guidelines, they cannot, they don't have any sanctions in the case of a violation. But we have to keep in mind that the OECD guidelines, they are not hard law. So they are just a volunteering element. So we have to be very critical with this kind of discussions. Also important, I would say, in these shortcomings, maybe the element, which kind of role is the national contact point playing in case that the conciliation or mediation fails in order to apply the guidelines and so on. So this is an open question that I give to you for the discussion. Thank you very much.